This service is a brief opportunity for us, his family and his friends, to gather together our thoughts about George and our memories of him, and turn those thoughts and memories towards God in an act of thanksgiving for George himself and for what he has meant to each one of us. I'm sure I'm not the only one who can say that he was one of the most admired and influential people in my life. And it's fitting for us to be here at St. Andrew's, which he loved so much, and where his being a communicant was the centre of his actively ecumenical Christianity. A few months ago, in the course of a telephone conversation, George said to me, "I'm feeling very old, but I still love being alive." That last phrase seems to me to sum up George. He was always alive to people, alive to the world around him, and through all that, alive to God, as I believe he still is. He encouraged others to share his fascination with so many aspects of life, as a fellow learner and discoverer. As his schoolboy brother-in-law, I followed George over the Purbeck Hills as he opened up to me the wonders of butterflies and rock formations, and later in London, the wonders of the theatre. To be in George's company was nearly always to find more interests being stimulated. Brought up in Gloucester and educated at Sir Thomas Rich's school there, George then read for the Natural Sciences Tripos at Downing College, Cambridge, to which he always remained devoted and was delighted to revisit with Ian only a year or two ago. After that, he went to Charterhouse for a year's teaching practice. I think he found the school community of that time somewhat formal and daunting, but he was made welcome by our fairly exuberant family in one of the school houses, and by the end of the year he was engaged to my eldest sister, Peggy, and they were married at Compton Church in 1938. So began a wonderfully happy and complementary partnership from which I guess most of us here have benefited at some time or other. Peggy and George delighted in family life, in Ian and Jill, and later their grandchildren and great-grandchildren, revelling in all the diversity of their gifts, personalities and lifestyles. Right to the end, George would tell us of how his grandchildren and their children extended his interests and kept him young at heart. From Charterhouse, George went on to teach biology at Mill Hill School and University College School, Hampstead. And there began his fascination with London, which lasted his lifetime. A few years ago, when he was already in his 80s and Mary and I were living in the centre of London, he came up one day to see our Georgian church and compared it delightedly with many others he'd known round about for many years, and showed his great knowledge of London's architecture and the Georgian in particular. During the war, George was commissioned in the Royal Artillery as a troop commander in an anti-aircraft regiment. And for the first years, he, Peggy and Ian spent much time in lodgings in Chester and Darlington. And then he was involved in the advance through France, Belgium and Holland into Germany. On his return to UCS, George was soon appointed vice master, with added responsibility after the sudden tragic death of the headmaster, who'd become a close personal friend. A tribute to his work there, I believe, was the naming of one of the houses, Baxter's. It was not surprising that 6 years later he was offered a headship. In fact, two headships. It may not be widely known that George was approached about being the headmaster of a certain independent boarding school at the same time as he was offered Farnham Grammar School. I think I can say that now, and that against a great deal of pressure from people in the school world whom he respected, he chose the grammar school here because of its wider involvement with its town and neighbourhood. A decision which he never regretted, I believe, for a moment, and a decision which has been proved so right by all that he has given to this borough and beyond it over the years. And of that we shall hear more now.